Good morning and welcome to Little Swatara. It's good to see you all on this beautiful sunshiny day. I know myself, I'm thankful for the sunshine. It gives me renewed energy. I always feel a little more energetic when the sunshine is shining. So glad to see you all. Just as some announcements to highlight from the bulletin, want to highlight that today's the last day for sub sandwich orders. The sub sale will be on September the 6th, so please sign up in the narthex. The other thing is this afternoon there will be baptisms back at Camp Swatara. Ethan Beidler and Jaden Manbeck will be baptized today, and Jen Manbeck will be reaffirming her faith, and Gabby Crick will be baptized at a later date. The other thing I want to share is we're coming up on Kobe's. Kobe's bike and hike will be on the 9th of September. That's only a couple weeks away. If you haven't seen a youth or junior high yet to sponsor them, search one of them out and sponsor them. Kobe's is a wonderful program. They do a lot for the community through foster care and adoption work, and also counseling with parents and helping people to understand how to raise their children. So I think it's a wonderful program, and I'd encourage you to support them. Does anyone have any other announcements that they'd like to share? Pat?
Thursday night, there's going to be a prayer walk at the high school for the kids. And
What time? So on Thursday evening at 7 p.m., there will be a prayer walk at Topahakan High School in memory of all of those that have passed away in the past year.
And
prayer for the new school year. Okay. Thank you, Pat. Anyone else have any other announcements? If not, I invite you to rise and stand as we join together to sing "To God Be the Glory," 102.
Glory, great things he hath done, so love to go. Amen and amen. The Lord is indeed doing great things, even in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our suffering. We know that God is with us, and we give Him praise and glory this morning. There'll be a microphone coming around. Put your hand in the air. We'd be glad to hear any joys that you may have or any concerns. Just an update as we're here. Denise is with us this morning. She's gaining strength and back to work, as well as my father, who had a toe amputated. And we just thank you for your prayers and your support and your love as you prayed for us through this time. Thank you very much.
I guess just a joy for all those who came to the country fair last night. And we're thankful that the rain went away. And we had a very nice evening of good fellowship, fun. Thank for those that bit up the pies and the cakes and other stuff. And it all goes for a good cause. We know it's we give half the crop, and then the other goes for the food pantry, where we're able to supplement what we're giving out at the food pantry with things like turkeys, hams, and other produce that we could buy extra. And of course, a good shepherding ministry, it goes to support that. And there's some other things that I can't recall right now, but we support. So thanks again for all who came out and showed up. I hope you had a good time. Didn't get stuck in the mud in the field, because fortunately it dried up enough that you could park without a problem. Thank you.
Yes, I'd like to request prayers for Ann Brown. She was a good friend of mine, for her family, I should say. Ann passed away Friday afternoon after a struggle with health.
Yesterday, we had 10 youth do a service project for Adoption Swaption, which is a organization that supplies families that are getting a foster child, don't have certain supplies like wipes, diapers, furniture, cribs, strollers, clothes, shoes, hats, jackets, whatever they possibly might need. It's all publicly donated to this organization. They were very well behaved. They enjoyed painting 2 pup trailers yesterday to make them match, make them look nice. They gave them 3 coats of paint. They gave us pizza. The kids really enjoyed it. It was about 5 hours of their time. And so I just wanted to say they did a great job. We're very proud of them, and we all should be too.
Praise God. Amen. Great work. Just an update on Marie Ziegler. You may have seen the prayer request come through. She did fall, has a fractured part of her leg. They're doing more testing just to make sure it's fractured, and then potential surgery on Monday. So keep Marie in prayer, and especially Kenny, as the family discerns what's best for him as Marie's in the hospital. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you most of all for the forgiveness that you have given us through the cross. We just come before you this morning. You know exactly what we're dealing with. You know what we're going through right now, the struggles, the pains that we're feeling. And we just ask you, Lord, to continue to be near to us, as we know that you are. We thank you, Father, that we can call upon your great name, as knowing you as the master physician, and ask that you would bring your healing touch upon those who are dealing with illness. And we pray, Father, if it be your will, that you would just heal those that are sick right now, those that are dealing with any type of suffering, Lord. And we'll give you praise regardless of whether that healing happens or whether you just continue to journey with them in this time. We thank you, Lord, for such events as the country fair and the money and the manner in which it's being used to just further your kingdom and to reach out into this community. We praise you for everyone that attended, and just be a blessing to those that will be affected by those funds, and just help them, Lord, through this life. We thank you for Ruth and the healing that she's experienced, and for Bob and for Denise and for John and for Joe and for Renee Hershey's aunt and for Debbie and for Derek and for Marie. We ask continued healing, Lord, and we think of Tim this morning as well, and we think of Ruth and ask that you would continue to just bless their lives and just allow them to continually seek you to find their strength, Lord, for we know that your word tells us when we are weak, you are very strong. So thank you, Father, for your strength that you give us to face difficult situations. We rejoice with the youth that served at Adoption Swaption and made a difference in the lives of those that are being served by that ministry. And we just ask you, Father, to just continue to be with our youth and be with our children, Lord, and just bless them in great ways and their families as well. We thank you for every single individual that is gathered here this morning. Father, we just know that you know us better than we know ourselves. And we just come before you, just bearing our burdens upon you and just knowing that you can handle them. And Father, for a long time, maybe we've been carrying something that we no longer need to carry and just need to surrender to you. So during these next few moments of silent prayer, we do exactly that. And we also lift up those sins that have found their way into our lives. And we pray that you would help us to turn from them. And we thank you for receiving the forgiveness that we'll have as we repent and confess. So hear our personal prayers during these next few moments of silent prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are in control of our lives. We often try to be in control, but Lord, we just forfeit that right this morning and ask you to just lead us, to guide us and direct us to loving and serving others, to being obedient to your call as servants, as friends of you, as children of you. And we know, Father, you have terrific plans for us. And so we just submit to those this morning and we just step aside and we say, Lord, have your way with us this morning. We do think of families that are grieving this morning, and we think of the Ann Brown family, and we know you grieved at the death of your friend Lazarus. And we just pray that you would just grieve alongside these families, and especially the Ann Brown family this morning who have lost loved ones. And we just thank you, Father, for this life. We know we make the most of it because of you and what you have done for us. So help us to continue to do so, to be a blessing to others and to serve and to know that you're here. And we're so thankful for your presence in this place. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We know we go through different stages of life, and we often reach those stages where we're not able to be in the mission field doing the work ourselves, but we know that God has blessed us financially in many significant ways, and we can bless those who are going into the mission field. And we just ask you this morning, as we consider the 10-member mission team heading to the Dominican Republic, how you might prepare them financially with the support to help build a church and also to buy plane tickets and other items that they'll need as they serve in the Dominican Republic in January. But we do thank every giver here this morning and thank you for the opportunity you provide for others to be ministered to through your offering. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the blessings that you give us in our lives, and we take pause now and we consider just how abundant those blessings are. And so we take this moment and we sacrifice to you what we have been so generously given, knowing that that sacrifice makes a difference. So Lord, be blessed in our offering this morning and enable us to further your kingdom by those missionaries that we support. And we think of those here at Little Sotora heading to the Dominican Republic, and may you meet their need that they have financially. And we just thank you, Lord, for just the way you move in our midst. And thank you for being a God that we can serve both through missions and through our ability to give. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. the day that every student, every teacher, every staff member of a school has been waiting for is finally upon us. And so we want to invite the children. We want to invite Ashley forward with the children for the children's moment. And as they're coming forward, we want to just invite any teacher, any staff member of school, just to slip your hand up in the air so people around you can see you. And if you're a teacher or a staff member, we just invite those around you to just reach your hand out toward them. They have a great responsibility ahead of them as Christian teachers. They know the impact they can have on students just by the way they show them love and show them respect and the difference they can make. And as the children come forward, we know those that are heading off to school may be a bit nervous. They may have some anxiety, but they also know the opportunity they have, many kids don't have, to be able to learn in a school environment and to get an education. So we're thankful for that opportunity for these kids and for students that are in our congregation among us. So if you'd bow your heads with me, let's pray for these staff members and these teachers and these students and kids. Lord, we do thank you for the incredible, incredible opportunity to go into our schools and to make a difference. We know that even carrying a positive attitude, having a smile upon our face, bringing joy, makes a difference in the lives of those that may be feeling a bit nervous. We know, Father, there are kids among us maybe for the first time going to school, or those dreading going back to school. And I just pray right now in Jesus' name, peace over them, that they would see this new school year as an opportunity, a time that they can make a difference, a time that they can be an example of who you are and what you've done for their lives. And I just lift up teachers and I lift up staff members of school and the schools. And you know, Father, the year ahead of them, you know the challenges before them. And I just pray you would give them discernment. I pray you would give them courage. You would give them boldness. You would travel with them each and every day as they teach these students. May they be a beacon of light, and may you just share your blessings for them, through them, to others. And we just thank you for this new school year. May it be a blessed year, and may they just feel your presence as they go through those days. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Is everyone excited for their first day of school?
My first day of school is tomorrow.
It's tomorrow, yeah. That's my first day of school, too. I'm going to fourth grade. What do you think about that? I'm a little nervous. How about you? How are you feeling?
Well, You're going to?
Yeah.
I'm excited to meet my old friends. I really miss going to school. I'm ready.
Yeah, I think we're all ready. Guess what? I brought some things that we might see in school. What are these? Maps, yeah. We might see them in school or at home, and sometimes we have them in our glove box in the car, or at least we used to. I knew my grandma had lots of maps in her car. You have a map?
Yeah. My mom has GPS on her phone.
Right, that's usually what our maps are today, our phones, right?
Yep.
So these used to be pretty common, but more common today are phones and GPSs. Road maps help people find their way from place to place. If someone moved to a new town, people used to buy a street map to help them figure out how to get to work, school, or church. If you went on vacation and say you needed to go to Disney World, you need a map to get there, right? Yeah.
I saw a Big Mickey.
Big Mickey, yeah. You need a map to see that Big Mickey, right, to get there. And once you get to the park, you need a map to help you find all the cool rides, right? Yeah, imagine if you were to get lost and all you had to find your way were these maps. Do you think you could find your way with these maps? You'd have to search and search to find where you are. And then you have to search and search to find the right road. And if you're lucky, maybe you can find someone to ask for some directions.
Mm-hmm. In Disney World, I'll look for Avatar World, which is my favorite movie.
Local landmarks, very good. You're very smart. You know, we barely use maps anymore because of our phones and GPSs. So now almost everyone has an app on their phone. It doesn't only give us directions, but also tells us where we are at all times. But you know what? We don't need any of these maps. We don't need our phones. All we need is God. He can tell us where we are, where we need to go, and he's always with us. There's no getting lost when we have God. God knows where we are, how far off the path we are, and what it takes to get us there. And God will never say no when we ask for help. He'll always be there to help us find our way back. One day, we may find we won't need our phones to get around anymore, but you know what will never change? That's God's love for us. He has a direction and a plan for each of your lives, and all it takes is a willing heart and to follow his lead. Let's pray together. Dear God, we trust your direction on our journey to you. We know all it takes is to follow you with an open heart. Amen. You may go back.
Would you pray with me? God, we truly believe that you have incredible plans for our lives. We know in this very moment that you have words to speak to us, and we pray, Father, that we would have ears to listen. We thank you for the week that we've been through. We thank you for the morning that we've endured, and we pray now that we would center. We pray now that we would focus on what you would have in store for us. But most of all, Lord, we pray that you would be glorified by what is about to be said. And it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Everyone loves a good legend, right? So there's this swan and this crane. And the beautiful swan cruises the banks of the water while the crane raids about seeking snails. For a few moments, the crane stares at the swan in wonder and inquires, "Where did you come from?" "Well," said the swan, "I am from heaven." "You can't be serious," replies the crane. "Where and what is this heaven you speak of?" "Heaven," said the swan, "you have not heard of heaven?" And the swan went on to describe the intense beauty of this eternal city. She spoke of streets of gold and the gates and walls made of precious stones, of the river of life, pure as crystal, upon whose bank is the tree whose leaves shall be for the healing of the nations. In the most eloquent of terms, the swan did everything she could to describe those who lived there. But the crane would have nothing to do with it, not even arousing the slightest of interest. But finally, the crane couldn't help himself anymore. And he said to the swan, "Are there going to be any snails there?" "Snails?" repeated the swan. "Of course not. There's not snails in heaven." "Then," said the crane, as it continued its search along the slimy banks of the pond, "you can have your heaven. I would rather have my snails." It's amazing to me the deep truths underlying this legend. How many people have been homeward bound and turned the other way in search of snails? They'd rather have what moth and rust destroy than Jesus. They'd rather exchange the truth for what makes their ears tingle. The world in which we live is more about believe what you want to believe and I'll believe what I want to believe. But when will it end that man thinks his mind is greater than the mind of God who has already spoken? These snails, they can take the form of idols. We get distracted from this journey home by the things in the way of this world. We get caught up with TV and the latest Grey's Anatomy episode or Jeopardy more so than Jesus and his word. Even sports can distract us. My beloved Philadelphia Eagles can replace my time in prayer. It can even keep us from attending church at all. You see, the enemy has a way of keeping our schedules so busy, we forget about this homeward journey and the reason that it involves a relationship. I don't know about you, but I don't really like a bump on a log. I kind of like two-way conversation. It's not one-sided, it's two-sided. God gave all so all could know the way through his Son. Prayer, Bible study, walking the talk, talking the talk. There shouldn't be anyone in our lives that doesn't know who we follow. We have morals. We have values. There's standards that we strive to live up to. But those slimy, those creepy snails keep making their way into our lives. This phone I'm holding can tell me almost anything. It's smart for a reason. And we can justify the purpose of these phones, but friends, they can't begin to replace authentic communication. And sometimes these idols, these distractions, these snails in our lives can destroy who's first. And there comes a point they need to be destroyed. They need to be removed. How many of you have ever seen the movie Fireproof? Kirk Cameron playing the role of Caleb. And there is a particular scene where the computer screen continues to give him a struggle with pornography. Now, it's not the first time that Caleb took something out in front of his garage and demolished it, and the neighbor took notice to it. But this time it was the computer. And he realized, according to the verse he had been reading, this computer was distracting him from his marriage relationship. So as you know, you may remember that scene. He took that computer screen out to the front yard, I'm assuming where his garage was, and he had a baseball bat in his hand. And he smashed that computer screen. You see, it was a distraction. It was a sin. It was a snail that kept creeping into his life, keeping him from fully living for Christ and fully loving his wife. Friends, there's sin that needs to be cut off at the root. You remember Jesus would heal many a person. But as he healed these people, you remember him telling him, "Don't tell anyone," in so many words. But you also remember him telling them, "Go and sin no more." And so, friends, we've been healed of so much. We have this old life and this new life, but for whatever reason, this old life keeps creeping in like that slimy snail. But God has set us free. He's given us this new life. So this morning, I ask you, what is keeping you from fully focusing on Jesus? What's holding you back from truly living for him? And friends, whatever it is, it's nothing compared to Jesus. It's nothing compared to where he has already gone to prepare a place for us. It's nothing compared to the reality that we are homeward bound and Jesus is coming to take us back to where he is. So the best favor we can do for ourselves is to stomp it out. It is to short its fuse. It is to unplug its power over us. It seems radical, but it is life-changing. It's sacrificial, but it's what the Lord Jesus calls us to. Friends, we'll never regret changing seats on this journey, allowing the Lord of our lives to be the driver, the one who truly knows how to steer this ship called life. But I get the fact, I understand the reality, we're on different journeys. But friends, we serve the same God. We know the same risen Savior. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, says this: "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." As Christians, as followers of Jesus, it's important for us to define this reality. We must come to terms that this place is not our home. We're simply passing through. And the more lives that we touch for Jesus, we can imagine the greater our rewards in heaven. But it's so simple. It's quite easy to define our present reality. Where do we spend most of our time? Where do we spend most of our money? Where do we have our attention focused the most? What holds us captive? What are our thoughts continually going to? Friends, that is what defines you. If it's anything or anyone other than Jesus, it's time to get to work with the Lord, to seek him, because he will be found, and you can know him, and you can repent and confess and turn to him. I can stand here week in, I can stand here week out. I can preach on focus all I want. But your very lives define your focus. You know, at funerals, I always say I never preach that person's funeral. They've preached their funeral their entire lives. So the next question for us is, what kind of sermon are you preparing in this life for the next? One of my favorite hymns and my prayer for each of us this morning is that we'd rather have Jesus. The story about this song goes on that it was written by Ray F. Miller with the tune written by George Beverly Shea. It says that it was written in 1922 and the poem was left on a piano in the Shea home by Bev Shea, who wanted her son to find it and wanted it to change the course of his life. Those words, "I'd rather have Jesus," moved George so much and spoke to him about his own aims and ambitions in life. He sat down at that piano and began singing them with a tune that seemed to fit the words. Shay's mom heard him singing it and asked him to sing it at church the next day. Friends, George's life direction changed forever. You may remember he was offered a popular music career with NBC. But a few years later, he chose to become associated with evangelist Billy Graham. And guess where that hymn went? All around the world. You see, when we're homeward bound and we know where we're going, there's no possible way to turn back. We wouldn't even want to. We realize the treasure that we found in Jesus Christ. But for whatever reason, so many do. They get caught up with the snails of this world, and it gets too complicated to leave them behind. But Jesus says, and this is Pastor Matt's paraphrase, there's no snail so big that I haven't paid the price for. You know, when we think about it, there's two types of people in the world. There's those who like to know where they're going. How many of you like to get in the car and like to know where you're going? Put your hand in the air. How many of you are adventure seekers? You can get in the car and you can take off and you don't have to have a destination. Well, when you're opposites and you're married to that individual and I'm the thrill seeker and she likes to know where we're going, it can become quite the indifference. But if you own a Jeep, you understand what I mean. Some of my deepest connections with God have been on those desolate roads, wandering, spending hours seeing God in the scenery around me, watching the wildlife frolic and play, and realizing none of this was by accident. It was made by a creator God. There's peace knowing, friends, that God has made this journey especially for us. But friends, we do realize there's mistakes. There's a reason God has given us common sense. It was a snowy, brisk day. The four-wheel drive was working like a blast. No snowdrift would stop me in those mountains. But before I left, I forgot to check the gas gauge. Now, I don't know how many of you go into panic mode when that light comes on, but when you're in the middle of the mountains with no destination, no idea where you are, and that light comes on, it becomes a concern. So by now, with the woods experience from a few weeks past, you're starting to wonder, why does Pastor Matt do this to himself? And I'd like to say it's to test my faith, but the reality is God is always showing up for me in those moments. With the gas gauge already below E, with no idea where I am, you know who I turn to. And simply said that prayer I've prayed so many times before, Lord, lead me, get me out of this situation. And so there I sat, middle of winter, teen degrees, didn't even have a coat on. The heater in the Jeep was working fantastic, but I didn't know where the nearest gas station was. And so I know that that Jeep was powered by angels, it was powered by fumes, but when I saw that gas station, it was the most beautiful sight I've ever seen. And I pray that in this life, we've been to some incredible places. We've seen some wonderful things. But may our eyes be set. May our eyes be focused on the beauty of heaven we heard 2 weeks about in Revelation 21. I encourage you to take time to look at Revelation 21 and realize how beautiful this place called heaven is. If you've sat here these last few weeks in the series Life Ever After and you wonder, what's the purpose? Why are we doing this? It's so that we can know, we can be assured, we can be guaranteed that when this life is over, there is a life ever after. So in a few weeks, we'll begin a new series, and it'll be called Jesus Said. For in this world, there seems to be a bit of confusion of what Jesus said. So we're going to start simple and start with those words where Jesus said, come, follow me, and what that looks like in our lives. And so this afternoon, as Ethan and as Jaden are baptized, they realize what following Jesus means to them. That being baptized as a believer is part of their journey. So I encourage us this afternoon to join them at the bridge as you enter into Camp Swatara to realize the power of baptism and to realize the difference knowing Christ and knowing your destination has. We'll have plenty of adventures in this life. The Jeep will take me places I've never found before, but you can be assured I'll be checking that gas gauge. So this morning, check your gas gauge in your life and your faith journey. Is it on full? Is Jesus the primary purpose for your living? Or is your tank getting empty and you come every week trying to be filled? Realize day in and day out, your time in the Word, your time in prayer, your time interacting with Jesus can't be replaced. Allow that relationship to be defined by two-way communication. Get involved and know Jesus in a greater way. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for this journey called life. We know there's roadblocks. We know there's detours. We know there's opportunities for us to turn back. But Lord, I'm praying in the most powerful name of Jesus that we would stay the course, that we would recognize that at the end of this life, there is this life ever after. And we can gather here on a Sunday morning and we can rejoice knowing it to be true, knowing that it is a real place called heaven where your presence is in all places. So Father, take us from where we are right now and lead us into living like that life ever after, being homeward bound. And we give you all glory for the change you're already doing in our lives and the change and the transformation you're about to do. Thank you, God, for meeting us here in this place. And thank you for loving us, for forgiving us, and giving us new life. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. In many ways, our lives before Christ is like that caterpillar that just continues to crawl along the ground. It's able to go up upon branches, but until that caterpillar turns into a butterfly, it hasn't seen anything yet. So we consider that old self, who we once were, as that caterpillar still crawling around the ground. But the Lord of the universe is saying to you, be like that butterfly, cling to your new life, and soar above in Christ. May we do that so this very day, and may we never look back, going forward, seeing the kingdom of God before us, the life ever after. Amen.